Good morning. It's 26 minutes before the hour. This is Morning Air on Relevant Radio, the Relevant Radio app. John Harper, Glenn Leverance. We've got a fresh Glenn Story Corner coming up in this half hour. Next hour, we go live to Rome for the Pope's general weekly audience. So over the last couple of days, or maybe last weekend, you looked out your back window, and there in your neighbor's driveway is a brand new car. Pretty nice. You want to go over there and get all the details. Were you envious that your neighbor had a brand new car? Were you jealous that he had a brand new car? What's the difference between envy and jealousy? Envy is one of the seven deadly sins. Father Robert McTagg, a member of our Morning family, has been writing about the seven deadly sins in a series on Aletheia.org. We have talked about a number of the deadly sins, including gluttony and anger and lust. And now we're moving on to envy. And now envy and jealousy are not really the same thing. Father McTagg is a professor of philosophy and theology. He's taught and lectured all around the world. He's got extensive experience in spiritual direction and is one of the trusted voices on Morning Air. Father McTagg, good morning. Welcome back.
Good morning. Very happy to be with you guys again. Thanks.
What is the difference between envy and jealousy?
Well, you know, some people use the words interchangeably, and that's unfortunate. If you take a closer look at the roots, jealousy is, I don't want you to have what I have. Stop looking at my stuff. Envy is, I resent that you have what you have, and I want it. And at its worst is, if I can't have what you have, then I don't want anyone to have it, so I'll destroy it, and I'll destroy you.
Becomes all-consuming.
Yes. Yeah, it goes from resentment to a very terrible spite.
And these are seeds that we plant in our kids.
Well, yeah, because, you know, well, why don't you have, and we'll look at them, and, you know, we end up doing a comparison based on branding and who's got sneakers or jackets and so on. And we tell our kids that's what's most important is what you have rather than what's in your soul.
And we see that certainly with kids wanting the latest electronic devices, as you say, clothing and things like that. So what are the messages that parents should be giving to their children, and at what age should they start?
Well, you can't start too soon. You know, we tell, you know, sharing is a choice, you know, and kids have to know that they have a right to say to yes or no, and that's fine. But gratitude. John, if you start with a habit of gratitude at an early age, you protect your child against so many sins and so many maladies and dysfunctions. So just counting your blessings every day, you know, praying at the end of the day, what are you grateful for? That's a great habit to develop in kids.
What is gratitude, Father McTagg, in an age now of entitlement?
Oh, John, that's an important question. Entitlement says, give me stuff for free just because. And we have to say, no, it doesn't work that way. Gratitude is recognizing that I didn't have to exist. God called me out of nothing and sustains me, protects me from reverting to nothing, because I can't resist the nothingness under my own power. And not only does he call me out of nothing, which is an infinite gift, he calls me to union with himself. You know, therefore, St. Paul says, you know, count it all joy, amazing grace. I am fearfully, wonderfully made, and my first obligation is to express my gratitude in worship.
I'm also thinking about the times that, and I will admit to doing this, the entitlement to the graces that God has given me, entitlement to the forgiveness I get in the confessional.
Well, yeah, I mean, we have this idea that God should be glad that he has such lovely people as us on his payroll, and therefore should cut us some slack. You know, John, no sane person will ever stand before God and say, God, let me tell you what I deserve. No sane person who's ever read St. Paul should stand before God and say, let me tell you what I deserve.
Sure.
I'm a sinner who's shaken my fist in the face of a holy God. I only deserve condemnation. But by grace, I have not only forgiveness of my sins, but adoption and the hope of the happiness of heaven. In that economy, envy just doesn't make sense.
We're looking at the Seven Deadly Sins series that Father Robert McTagg is writing for Aletheia.org, and we're talking about them here on Morning Air, that deadly sin of envy. And there's a little bit of that envy in all of us, but if it gets uncontrollable, What's the first step to getting that in control and in perspective?
Well, John, you know, as we talk about so often, if you've got a problem, one of the first steps you have to do is go to confession. Go to confession is part of the solution for every human problem. You have to own it, that I'm not counting my blessings. I have a bad attitude about somebody else's good. And you know what, John? Someone might be materially blessed. We don't know what crosses they're carrying. We don't know what griefs or wounds they're staggering under. And I need to get my own house in order first. If I'm convinced that I am a loved sinner, then what's going on in other people's lives in terms of have and has not is not very interesting. So count your blessings and then go to confession.
Father, is our whole advertising culture based on envy, and that's what makes that business model go around?
Oh, gosh, yes. And what's frightening is that it's not only our business model based on advertising and consumption and, you know, the idea that, hey, my neighbor, at least on Instagram, is happy because he has XYZ. I need to get me some of that, too. Let's make it worse and have a politician say, you're a have-not because someone else is a have. If you give me your votes, I'll get badges and a gun and get his stuff and give it to you. And if we look at politics today, I'm afraid there's a lot of that going on.
Father Robert McTagg on the seven deadly sins today, the sin of envy. Spiritual chicken and egg, Father McTagg. What came first, pride or envy?
Oh, it's always pride.
Yeah.
It's always pride. In fact, today I'll be writing up the column number 7 on the seven deadly sins. Save pride for last. Once you're proud, this whole array of entitlements comes up. And of course, the entitlements are based on illusions, and then all the resentments follow. So, yeah, pride first. I deserve more just because I'm me, and then all the other dominoes fall.
Father, why do we end up thinking it's a zero-sum game in that, you know, if the other guy has something good, that means that we're somehow less? Can't we realize that we both can have something good?
Well, that's a great question, and it's because we're raised to be materialists. You know, if the only thing in front of us is a pizza, then every slice I take is one less for you. But if we value things like truth and beauty and goodness, they're multiplied when they're shared and not divided. Envy works best in a materialist framework, which is what we have nowadays.
By the way, Father Robert McTagg, when you write the piece on pride, you have full permission to use my picture in that. It is. That's a sin I keep taking into the confessional. And it's not, you know, it's not being boastful or anything. But, you know, when you catch yourself sometimes exaggerating or doing something like that, maybe I'm being too scrupulous about the sin of pride. And, you know, I really focus on that litany of humility that we've got on our Relevant Radio app. But we'll look forward to that conversation. As we look at one of the seven deadly sins and that of envy, let's go back to putting the seeds in our kids' minds. And you've been to these parties, we've all been to these parties where the kids get everything. It's like the contents of a toy store is emptied out.
Yes.
And so that then becomes the norm for these children.
Right.
How do you put the genie back in the bottle?
Oh, that's tough. You know, John, it's always better to do the right thing first. I mean, humanly, that's not always available. But when kids have a sense of entitlement and then toys and physical objects are used for bribes, you're in for a world of hurt because it's only going to get worse. So, but suppose, you know, we're human, we're fallen, we make mistakes. You've got to start teaching your kids about the kids who have less, who are just as human and precious as anybody else's child is. And what can we share? What can we donate? What can we give away? What can we do to serve others? So gratitude and service and compassion can wean us away from the spirit of competitive acquisitiveness, from that frenzied consumption. That would be a good place to start.
I like that frenzied consumption. There is a friend, not Catholic, saw on his Facebook page someone who got the new iPhone 10 maybe 6 months ago. put a picture on his Facebook page and up on Instagram. Hey, look, I got the new iPhone 11 Pro. And I'm kind of scratching my head. And it's like, oh, that's kind of interesting. And he's holding it up and is, you know, proud that he's gotten that. He's kind of a techie. But by the same token, I stand back, and I think a lot of us are in these situations when we have to make a decision on a discretionary item, if we really need that discretionary item, or if that money, a gift from God based on our talents, however we've received it, can be used better for the common good.
And John, this is where accountability is really important, where you need to sit down and have a conversation with your spiritual director or your spouse or a very trusted friend. And you know, maybe you know, in his line of work, your friend really does need an iPhone 11. I don't know. I kind of believe that would be a hard case to make.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, even if you know, spending money on myself is at the top of my to-do list, is there nothing left for anybody else?
Right.
Do I have any consideration at all about other people who are in need? And that's a tough discernment to make, and that's why accountability is important.
Father, do we need to do a better job of teaching that life is better? Well, it's biblical too, but life is better and more interesting if we care more for others than care more about competing with others.
Yeah, and remember, you know, first of all, we're meant to use things and love people and not the other way around. That's for starters. And when we realize that we have received so much love and mercy from Almighty God, it's almost inevitable that we're going to want to pay it forward. So if we're at the level of grasping and acquisitiveness, there's some stones in our heart that need to come out.
Father Robert McTagg with us this morning for Aletea.org, continuing his series on the seven deadly sins today, talking about envy. If we widen out the shot a little bit, Father McTagg, it really is one of the messages of last Sunday's gospel from Luke about serving two masters. If
right.
we are so envious that our master becomes money, that's all we focus on.
Right. And again, that examination of conscience is so important. What is our priority and what is on the altar of our heart? Is it the living God or is it a dead object? And we, again, that conversation, which is painful, especially if you're living in comfortable circumstances, you have to have that examination of conscience, and it's best to do that in the company of someone who's going to be honest with you.
And this envy also leads to violence. We see that if you know, dig down into some of the stories, you hear the statistics of violence in major cities. But when you start reading the stories and what caused that violence, envy is always there in the mix.
Yes, it is, John. And you know, I want to go back to what I mentioned to Glenn about politics as well. The politics of envy will lead to violence. And I'm not going to name names, but of countries and policies and politicians. But if you look around, there's a whole lot of people getting a lot of votes and a lot of state power, fomenting envy. And that leads to violence. And you don't have to look very hard in the headlines to see that. And that's what concerns me. It's become not only a business model, it's become a political model and a license to violence.
And a cultural model, because we don't want to do, and I'm using a broad brush here, we don't want to do the discernment to understand, to separate the verbal wheat from the chaff here to find out what is true and what is being said just to stir up the pot of envy.
Right. I mean, if I'm predisposed to self-pity, which is the perfect soil for the growth of envy, if I'm predisposed to self-pity, then someone stirring up resentment against you because you have something I don't have, that's going to be really easy. And then when a politician tells me that he's going to get a badge and gun and take your stuff and give it to me, I have absolutely no motivation whatsoever to examine whether or not what's being told to me is true or false.
In spiritual direction, Father McTagg, if you're going to see someone who is consumed by self-pity, and it's pretty easy to go down that slippery slope, what's the easiest way or one of the first ways to get yourself out of it?
Again, gratitude. And my late mother, God rest her soul, said, if you want to stop feeling sorry for yourself, talk to someone who's got real problems.
Right.
You know, right. I stubbed my toe and someone stepped on my shadow and I didn't get the recognition I always wanted. You know, you start working in a hospice with the dying or talk to victims of violent crimes, your own suffering gets perspective pretty quick.
Yeah, it sure does. And it's one of those side effects of a selfie society. Father Marcel Tayona will be on later on today. He says, you know, they don't call it an iPhone for nothing. And not that we're picking on iPhones this morning,
right,
but it really does apply in our conversation about envy and part of the series that Father Robert McTagg has written about in Alitea.org. Next month, we'll talk about that sin of pride, one of the deadly sins of pride, which it's probably safe to say something that we've all kind of fallen into at times in our lives, along with envy as well. And we'll share Father McTagg's article on our Morning Air Facebook page. Father is a professor of philosophy and theology, teaching all over the world, and we're so blessed to have his voice here on Relevant Radio. Father McTagg, as always, you're in our prayers. We look forward to our next conversation.
Me too. Thank you so much, guys. God bless. Bye-bye.
Father Robert McTagg this morning here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.